We are going to be in Proverbs chapter 1 in the Bibles at your seats. That's going to be page 353, Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs is just such a fantastic book. Anybody know right off how many chapters there are in Proverbs? How many days are there in most months? Coincidence? No. It's really good to read a chapter of Proverbs a day. Chapter of Proverbs a day keeps the devil away. No, I don't know about that. So, my wife loves my corny humor. I want you to repeat this with me. We're in week two of opt in, opt out, opt in to wise wisdom, right? And opt out of foolishness. That's where we're getting, where we're going with this series. Here's what we talked about last week. What and who you listen to will influence what you do. Let's say that together. What and who you listen to will influence what you do. Have you ever seen a pair of these? You ever worn a pair of these? You ever worn a pair of these and then started jamming out, you know, and you're singing out loud, but nobody can hear what's on the inside? Have you ever done that or seen somebody do that? You have, haven't you? Have you ever been sitting at a red light or on the LIE, you know, and the car windows are up in the car next to you, and they're just jamming. I mean, you know, and you look over and you go, man, they look so silly, right? But they're really enjoying themselves. Well, here's the deal. We are where we are to some extent because of the people that we listen to. We are. Just give me 1 second. I pulled up the wrong notes here today, and I have them. Right here, I just made a quick mistake. Thank goodness for quick computers. So you are listening to something, and that something we've determined influences what you do. It influences you. Sometimes people are amazed by the influence that happens in your life. Sometimes people look at you and they know because of the people you listen to, because of the things you listen to, they know that it's going to not end so well. You may not see that right away, but they see that. Or better yet, what you can see is you know the path somebody made. You know where that's going to land one day. You know the odds are stacked against them, and they're probably going to crash and burn. You can see that because of the people they listen to, because of the things they've listened to and leaned into. You know where that's headed, and we can see it in other people's lives, but sometimes it's hard to see in our own life. Where we are, where we were to some extent, we are where we are because of who we've listened to. We are where we are because of some extent of those who we haven't listened to. We all would have done so much better had we listened to our mamas a little bit more, right? We would have maybe done a little bit better if we'd have paid attention to that teacher or that coach that was trying to get our attention, or that professor in some cases. We would have done so much better had we not listened to that friend way back then on that decision that we made, that thing that we did, that we wrestle with just about every night it comes up, and it keeps us up at night. And if there was anything we could do over, and we link it back in messages like this, and it's like, oh, if only I had not listened, right? If I only hadn't turned in that person's direction for that moment. Some of us listen to our hearts, and we applaud that. In some cases, people will even say, listen to your heart. Which would have been fine, except that our hearts are deceitful, right? And they change on a whim with every passing emotion that comes down the pike. So we can't even trust our own hearts, can we? Last week, we talked about listening to others. Next week, we'll talk about listening to God. But this week, I want to talk about listening to an unlikely candidate, listening to wisdom. And we think of terms of seeking wisdom, like we need to go get counsel, we need to seek wisdom. That's what we normally think like. But the Bible in Proverbs chapter 20 and many other places, the Bible speaks in terms of listening to wisdom, leaning toward wisdom, turning in the direction of wisdom. In fact, Solomon, King Solomon, he's the wisest man. He was blessed with immense wisdom. He personifies wisdom. He makes wisdom an it. He makes wisdom a she and refers to it as a like a person. And some people think he's referring to God in those situations, but as we'll see today, it isn't God. This is wisdom. Wisdom. Let's define wisdom today. Wisdom is the quality of having experience. That's why it's a little more common in older folks, because they have experience teaches wisdom. You've seen that, right? If you're like over a certain age, you go, man, I learned a lesson there. And we learn wisdom as we have experience. So the quality of having experiences, knowledge, and good judgment, those all kind of go together. Here's the dictionary. The quality of being wise. The result of taking into account the way that the world works. The result of taking into account the unavoidable cause and effect relationships, the cause and effect principles, old age insights, and the way things work out. In many cases, goes on, common sense. Don't you love when the dictionary just makes it clear, right? But as we know, common sense is not all that common, is it? So if you just stop to pay attention for just a moment, we could explore some pieces of wisdom. We could look around us and see what happens when people do certain things or when people don't do certain things. You would see wisdom, or you inevitably see the lack of wisdom in that. And they're very easy to talk about, right? Wearing your seatbelt. Just look at the cause and effect relationships. Just look at the overwhelming statistics and studies. If you wear a seatbelt in a car and have a traffic accident, you are far, and I know that the few times that somebody the seatbelt and they get pinned in and they die because of the seatbelt, I get that. But in the vast majority of cases, it's far safer to be in a car and wear a seatbelt then not wear a seatbelt. That's what the facts prove out. That's what the facts tell us. Graduating from high school, just look at the income statistics. This was huge for us in Atlanta. We had an after-school learning center to help kids graduate because it was hard to graduate in inner-city Atlanta. But we would talk to them about their future income potential. And if you have a high school dropout, they're locked in at a certain income potential for the most part, unless somehow they get blessed beyond measure, right? And then if you graduate high school, you have another bracket that is potential. And then a two-year degree and a four-year degree and a master's degree and a doctorate degree. So your income and the studies show that income and school have a direct correlation. So here's the deal. If you want to remain poor, if you want to remain in poverty, then just quit school. That's all you have to do. It's pretty easy, right? At age 50, we won't ask for a show of hands that this would apply to. At the age of 50, studies show, and this is a little gross, sorry online people, but listen, it's a little gross to talk about, but at age 50, your doctor's going to want you to get a colonoscopy, right? Aren't you glad you came to church for that today? And if you have cancer in your family, they back that up 10 years because studies show that if you detect colon cancer early, it's so treatable. But if you let it go a little bit too long, it is deadly. So it's wise to listen to your doctor because they have a lot of studies behind that. Here's another one that my mama told me, my dad told me. Don't borrow money to pay for depreciating debt assets. Don't finance a meal because you're just going to be rid of it tomorrow and you'll have to pay on it for a long time. It's not a good deal. Don't finance something that's going to go down in value. Just don't finance depreciating assets. And don't use credit cards. That's basically the rule of thumb. Dave Ramsey said you need to live like no one else. You need to live within a budget right now for a short time so that you can eventually live like no one else, because that's what happens when you don't finance depreciating assets and you save for the future. A wise man saves for the future, but a foolish man spends every cent he gets, Proverbs tells us. And as obvious as all of this seems, we have such a difficult time listening to the voice of wisdom, or as we say it, the voice of reason. We've all made financial decisions. We've all made relational decisions. We've all made time decisions. We've all made academic decisions that we would never, ever recommend to somebody else. Decisions, big decisions, great, big, giant decisions that we regret, that we look back on in our life and we go, oh, if I could just have one do-over, I wouldn't do that again. And that wasn't very smart. Why did I do that? Why did I just throw everything? The pastor told me and my dad told me, but I just ran up this $20,000 credit card bill. I don't know how. I'm like a slave to these creditors now. What am I going to do? Why did we do it? That's what Solomon explains right here in Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, Solomon tells us, look at this. Wisdom calls aloud in the streets. She, look at that. She raises her voice in the public squares. Men, women are smart. Got to pay attention. That's just a free marriage thing right there. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries aloud. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. You see, the truth is, wisdom is not hard to find. It's all over the place. Wisdom is not difficult to hear, with a little caveat, if you're listening for it. One of the problems is, and we talked about that in just before the offering moment, if you can close out the noise in your life, life is so noisy, isn't it? And it drowns wisdom out sometimes. We focus, if we can drown out that noise, if we can get rid of the noise of life, we can lean into and focus and hear what she says. And when you do that, actually, she's not all that hard to hear. Not always easy to do what she says, but she's not hard to hear. And Solomon goes on in verse 22, how long will you simple ones love your simple ways? Simple refers to the naive, the young who refuse to listen and acknowledge that older can mean wiser. It doesn't necessarily mean it has to. I met some very foolish older people that doesn't have to. But most of the time, if you pay a little attention to the lessons of life, those hard experiences, you gain wisdom quite naturally. There's consequences associated, and we go, wow, I don't want to repeat that. Let me tell my kids not to do that. And most often it does lead to some wisdom. And so here's a tip for youth and college students. We got some youth, we got some college students going away in a few months. Listen, you have a once in a lifetime chance to get this right the first time. Just once. You only get to be 16 once. You only get to be 21 once. You only get to go to freshman year of college. Well, maybe you can go more than once to freshman year of college, but that's a whole nother sermon. So listen to the voice of wisdom and win. Listen to the voice of culture. Listen to the voice of the world, and you will lose. It's pretty simple. Look how he goes on. How long will mockers delight in mockery? They delight. They love. They hang out in. They play with mockery. They delight in it. They love it. And fools hate knowledge. How long will fools hate knowledge? Just turn in your Bibles to that. We need to mark some things here in just a second. So find Psalms right in the middle. You just turn to that. Right in the center of the Bible is Psalms, and then the next book is Proverbs. Chapter 1 is where we're at, verse 22. The fools are the people who refuse to be taught. These people, the fools, are the people who think they know better. These are the people who think somehow they will be different. These are the people who think somehow they'll defy the statistics. Doesn't matter what usually happens to folks. It doesn't matter what the cause and effect relationships are. I'm big on logic trees. It doesn't matter what that stuff boils down to. They'll be different. They'll figure it out. Who knows? Maybe they will. But odds are heavily against them. And chances are they will blow up their life. Chances are they will crash and burn. Here we have three groups of people. This is what you should mark in your Bible, because God is speaking to us through this. Here's what you should mark. Ready? Simple. How long we use simple ones? And then what other category do we have here? What other kind of people? We have mockers, right? Underline that in your Bible. Simple and mockers, or just circle that word. And then what's the next one? Simple, mockers, and fools. He's talking about three different groups of people. And they have a very difficult hearing and listening, more importantly, listening to the voice of wisdom. Their lives are simply too noisy to hear what she has to say. The simple, they're the people that just don't know better. They're just aimlessly wandering around life, not paying attention. The mockers, they know better, right? Somebody's told them. They understand that there's heavy consequences. They just don't care. They're just going to plunge forward. And then the fools, they just don't care. It doesn't matter if somebody tells them or not. They're not even going to listen. You know what fools do? They're just always yapping. They never shut up long enough to hear anything. That's the reality. If you had responded to my rebuke, Solomon tells them, the simple, the mockers, and the fools, if you had just responded to my rebuke, literally, this could be better translated, if you would have just turned in my direction, if you would have just looked at me, if while I was describing those three categories, the simple, the mockers, the fools, and you thought, that's me, oh, I hope Pastor doesn't look at me right now. You're hearing from wisdom. You really are. Wisdom is telling you, turn in my direction. We got it quiet enough for you to finally hear me. Listen to me. Pay attention. Be careful, she says. Then after you agree to listen, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. When you turn in my direction, what is obvious will become obvious to you. You will see it. Light bulbs will go off. Did you know our country could have avoided the financial and economic meltdown of 2007, 2008 that we all have lived through? If we had just listened to the voice of wisdom in our streets. Instead, the voice of greed. Instead, the voice of discontentment called in the streets. And instead of turning and listening to wisdom, we turned and paid more attention to greed and discontentment and covetousness in our life. And we ignored the voice of wisdom. That's what happened in that crisis. All the doctors and economy and economics and all of these advisors to the president, they have a lot of other theories, but you boil it all down, that's what took place. We listened to greed, we listened to discontentment, and we did not pay attention to wisdom. And the problem is, I feel like this may be continuing today. Is our country heading toward an even greater financial meltdown? They're about to raise interest rates. They're saying the prices, the inflation rates are about to skyrocket. Do you know that is predicted in the Bible in one chapter in Revelation? If we're living in the end times? The arch enemy of wisdom, listen, is passion. The arch enemy, the number one enemy, I think, I would propose this. I don't have a verse for this, but it's passion. Once we get fixated on something we want, I want that new shiny eye thing. I need a fancy pair of whatever. I need some new shiny car. I know my car runs great, but have you smelled the new one? The new car smell? Come on, I need it. And once we get fixated on something we want, we are able to talk our way out of wisdom every single time. And we think, we'll just be careful. I know you're not supposed to finance stuff that depreciates in value, but I'm different. I pay those cards off every month. Come on. I use the points. I mean, we can talk our way out of it every time. Have you ever seen those bank buildings and compared it to your house? They're like huge skyscrapers. They know how to play that game, buddy. You are not going to win the point game. Just try to cash them in. You have to have the right moon on the summer autumn night. And oh, come on. Somehow it'll be different in my case. Somehow I'll defy the odds as if it compensates for stupidity. The first enemy of wisdom is passion. The second enemy of wisdom is compassion. Or better, misguided compassion. And we see this in families all the time. Have you ever seen parents refuse to allow their kids to face the consequences of their decisions? They just rescue them out of them every single time they mess up. They just pluck them out of it. Well, because, why? Because we love him. Because we love her. If that's you, listen. If that's your grandkids, listen. That is so misguided. If you really love that child, you will help them through that consequence, not pluck them out of it. You'll let them feel the pain of that because pain teaches us. Discipline teaches us. If you save children from the pain of those teachable moments, if you do that, if you save them from those teachable moments, you will help them learn how to not repeat them in the future. Those valuable lessons. It's a part of discipline. It's a part of parental instruction to teach them how to navigate bad decisions. Listen, parents, if you don't discipline your children, listen carefully. If you don't discipline your children, if you refuse to discipline your children, somebody else will. A boss? A court? A sergeant, a someone will discipline your kids. And listen to this very carefully. They don't love them. That's why God gave this job to you in their formidable years. So you could love them and discipline and shape them through those disciplines and help them so they didn't have to experience that pain later. Somebody will discipline your children. And when you reward irresponsibility under the guise of compassion, you actually damage your child. Misguided compassion works to remove the logical consequences from behavior. But wisdom knows better. Wisdom knows better. Wisdom knows children must learn valuable lessons from consequences to succeed, to thrive in life. And Solomon continues, "But since you rejected me," look how purposeful that is. "Since you rejected me when I called, since you rejected me and refused to listen, And when no one gave heed, no one paid attention when I stretched out my hand, and since you ignored something I did on purpose, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my correction, here's the implied consequence. I, in turn, will laugh, ha, 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 at your disaster. That's a promise. If you ignore the voice of wisdom, eventually calamity will strike. Personally, organizationally, professionally, financially, even nationally. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. Then wisdom will be the one poking fun at you. Not like the Pillsbury Doughboy, maybe, but poking at you. And really, that's wrestling in your bed going, why did I make that dumb decision? That's what's happening right here. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes your life like a storm, suddenly the cool air is rushing in, the wind begins to pick up, the storm, the leaves start to swirl in the life, and there it is, the storm of life is upon you, and you realize in that moment, there is no stopping these storm clouds. It is going to rain and thunder and lightning, and what happens? Fear sets in. There's no stopping. The decision is happening. The consequence is coming. When disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when disaster and trouble overwhelm you, here's the promise. Ignore wisdom and you will pay the price. It's not God, it's wisdom. It's a logical consequence. It's inevitable. It happens every single time. It's your choice to ignore it or embrace it and walk in it. Then, here's what's going to happen. Then, we've all been here, haven't we? I mean, in some level, we all can identify with exactly what he's talking about in some issue in our life. Then, after every single thing unravels and the storm clouds are like the hurricane strength now, then things unravel financially. I can't make the minimum payments anymore. I don't have a credit card left to get a cash advance on to pay the other card. Then everything unravels relationally. She gets pregnant, whatever. The relationship blows up. She doesn't love me anymore. She doesn't respect me anymore. He doesn't love me. Then, after everything unravels professionally, I get the pink slip because they caught me looking at that image on the computer screen. Then, when things unravel academically, they finally caught me cheating. Then, when things unravel in my family, the kids are just gone. He overdosed, she ran away, whatever. Then when things unravel in my addiction, then when things unravel in my marriage, then when all this is happening, then they will call to me. I got to get my act together. She filed for divorce. What am I going to do now? I need to change. I know I need to change. Things are starting to catch up with me. I need to know how to fix this. Please, wisdom, help me, help me. Friends, Kimberly and I get calls a couple of times a year from, usually the mom is crying on the other end of the phone or the dad is crying. We've never met them, but you know, we send a Bible to their house or they get a postcard. So they're just desperate and they're just calling us. And they say something like this. They say, you know, my son is having problems. My little girl is having trouble. They're 14 years old. They're 16 years old. They're 18 years old. And I need to find a good youth group so he or she can get their life back on track. That's the solution. The parents, they don't have time for God. They didn't show up at church to do this. They usually just call on the phone. I mean, they're busy. I get that. We got a lot of noise going on in life. They don't have time to bring them to church on Sunday. They got things to do on Sunday. There's boating and there's more important things. There's wisdom. You know, they don't have time to lean in and turn to wisdom. But suddenly they think sending their teenager to youth group for 1 hour a week is suddenly going to fix their child. 1 hour out of 168. I'm a math guy. Listen, I did the math. 1 divided by 168. Do it on your calculator. It's just over a half of 1%. They think sending their teenager to youth group for 1 hour a week is suddenly going to fix all of the misguided compassion of withholding years of discipline from their son or their daughter. Do you know how many times we've seen this? Far too many. One time is way too many, but far too many. We certainly do what we can, but we rarely see a child turn around at that point. Rarely, if ever. I don't know if we've ever seen it. Listen, we do what we can when the parents want to outsource their training, they want to outsource their correction, they want to outsource their discipline, they want to outsource their instruction. Listen, the church is here to assist parents. But we can't parent for you. That doesn't work. So why is it we go to see counselors? Why is it we go to see pastors? Why is it we suddenly want to go to church after the damage is done? For the fool, there's no pain, there's no change. So why is that? Then they will call to me. Look at this. But I will not answer. They will look for me, but they will not find me. When we ignore the voice of wisdom for a season, it is so difficult to hear the voice when we need to hear from her the most. It doesn't mean it's impossible. When you get serious with God and you lean into wisdom, she will speak to you. But there's going to be a lot of work just to get back to break even, just to get back to zero. And then you got to keep going. It's going to take a while. Lessons of wisdom are not quick fixes. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Yes, not because it makes sense, but because they chose not to walk in the ways of God. Since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their schemes. They will eat the fruit of their ways. There are unavoidable consequences, and there are no short-term fixes rejecting wisdom. None. We hate that as Americans too, don't we? We love to sue our way out. We love to blame our way out. We love to vote our way out. We love to petition our way out. We want that quick fix, and we certainly don't want to pay anything for it. We certainly don't want to wait for wisdom. We want it now. We want the lesson she teaches, but we don't want any investment. Friends, it doesn't work that way. She doesn't come to us that way. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them. What will kill them? God? Is he just zapping people? No. Notice, the waywardness is killing them. Their own lifestyle of continuously rejecting wisdom will kill them. It will catch up with them. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Not God, waywardness and complacency. It's inevitable. This is just the way the world works. They did it to themselves. Complacency is the feeling of a quiet pleasure or a false security while unaware of some impending potential danger, defect, self-satisfaction, or smug satisfaction with an existing situation or condition. That doesn't sound very pleasant, does it? But whoever listens to me will live in safety, Mark this in your Bible, Proverbs 1:33, and you can start right here today. Turn to wisdom if you have a life of not, and begin today right where you are. But whoever listens to me, turns in the direction of wisdom, look, will live in safety. How many of you could use a little more safety in your life? Right? If you turn to wisdom and listen to wisdom, you will be at ease. How many of us need some more ease in our life? We could be so tired. Living in noise for so long is just so exhausting. He says, if you turn to wisdom, you'll live in ease. Whoever listens and turns in my direction will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. You'll be protected from the hurricane because you'll have built your house on the rock. When the winds and waves come and crash against that house, it will not be moved because it has a firm foundation in the rock of wisdom. That's the promise of wisdom. This is why one of the most clarifying, most penetrating questions you can ever ask yourself at any time is this. Ready? What is the wise thing to do? It's in your sermon notes. Why don't you get those sermon notes out real quick? Right inside your bulletin, there's some sermon notes. Some of you have been writing on them. What is the wise thing to do? That's something you could Facebook. You know, how do you send that thing out? You send a emoji with it or something. Maybe put a little graduate emoji after it. That would be wise, right? What is the wise thing to do? Would you just circle that in your sermon notes? Write that down. Maybe underneath it, just write it so you have written it once. And then when you get home, unless you have a highlighter with you, why don't you highlight that while you got it out? If you got a red pen, maybe you have a red pen at home, just underline that. Maybe circle it a couple times in red. Asterisk it. We need to lean into wisdom. We need to ask, what is the wise thing to do? I know what I want to do. But what is the wise thing to do? You see, wisdom is easy to discern when you look in her direction, when you simply ask. In light of my past experience, in light of my future hopes and dreams, like if I stay on this path, will I ever get there? What is the wise thing to do for my hopes and dreams? In light of the way the world works, the cause and effect relationships that are just really obvious to everybody, what is the wise thing to do? Wisdom is easy to discern when you turn away from your passion, when you turn away from your misguided compassion, and ask, what is the wise thing to do financially? What is the wise thing to do relationally? What is the wise thing to do in your marriage? What is the wise thing to do academically? What is the wise thing to do with your time? What is the wise thing to do with your health? Because what you do, what and who you listen to, will influence what you do. What and who you listen to will influence what you do. This is difficult because we live in a culture of anti-wisdom. But even the momentum of our culture cannot overcome or undo the consequences of ignoring the voice of wisdom. She will have her way. She will have her day. Jesus said everything we said here today in this one sentence. Listen, are you ready? But wisdom is proved right by her children. Wisdom is vindicated by her children. If you're in a group, would you discuss that verse this week? What is Jesus saying here? Wisdom is proved right, vindicated by all her children. Wisdom is calling. The question is, are you listening? Father, we just come before you today in Jesus' name. And God, it's not always easy to hear the voice of wisdom. And Lord, I know there's people here in this room today that have just an overwhelming amount of of grief, an overwhelming amount of regret. Lord, they withheld discipline from their children. They had that misguided compassion. We love her, so we can't help her go. We just got to rescue her from that. We got to pay that fine. And Lord, now, at this point in their life, it's like, you talk about hurricane. It's like hurricane and earthquakes all coming at once. Lord, we just don't know where to go. We don't know where to move. We don't know how to run. We can't. There's no money left. Our wife, we never thought 40 years ago, 20 years ago, when we met our wife and we were so in love, that we would ever have such a strained relationship. And when we hear a sermon like this, and it's kind of clear where we're at, Lord. It's clear that we rejected the voice of wisdom. We thought somehow we would be different. We would defy the odds. We would make enough money to pay off those cars and not have to even worry about a budget one day. But here we are in the center of the storm. And the eye isn't even that unpleasant in the storm. Not even pleasant either. It's like raging around us, tornadoes. And Father, we pray in Jesus' name today that God, you would give some hope here. Because when we hear the voice of wisdom, if we will turn in your direction and heed your advice and stop throwing caution to the wind and lean into what you say, Holy Spirit, you will rescue us. You will teach us. Lord, you said, behold, all things will pass away and behold, all things will become new. You said you would move into our lives and repair, Lord, and remodel. You're not going to remodel. You're going to just tear down and build back up. It's going to be a complete rebuild in our life. And God, some of us need that desperately. So Lord, in the name of Jesus, would you help us put the past behind us? And there's going to be consequences. This isn't going to be a quick overnight fix. There's going to be many days and nights of discouragement, and we're going to still lay in regret. But Lord, we pray, God, Holy Spirit, that you would breathe hope into us in those moments. So Satan is going to be right there messing with us. He's going to tell us lies. God doesn't love you and all of that stuff. But that's just not true. God does love you. That's why you're here at church today. To hear the truth, and here's Jesus' promise, the truth will set you free. So we have to man up. We have to woman up. We have to put on wisdom as we hear it and as we listen to it. We have to get our Bibles out and start reading it and leaning into it and applying it to our lives. And ask God to enlighten our hearts and give us understanding. And search for wisdom as you would for silver or gold. The map is the word of God. Search for wisdom as you would account it more profitable than wisdom and gold and money and everything else. When God tells you to do something, lean into it. That is the wise thing to do. If that's you today, repent. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for eternal life. That's number one. Number two, start reading his word day in and day out as much as you can and start asking his Holy Spirit to not help you just hear it, but give you an understanding. And not just a hearing and an understanding, but an application to actually step out and do wisdom. You're not different. I'm not different. If we don't, it won't get any better. If we do, we have ease. We have fear of harm. We have free from the fear of harm. So God, help us obey your word today. We love you, Lord, today in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.